Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Down with the 90s. I am Jerry Strauss, and this is the show where we celebrate the decade of big colors, bigger pants, and even bigger fun, and maybe, just maybe, it was some of the best times of your lives. It certainly was for me. My name is Jerry Strauss, and this week, folks, we've got a great guest. So I want you to turn off that rerun of Beverly Hills 90210, turn down the old Color Me Bad CD, and turn up this show, because we welcome to the show a woman that you may have seen more recently on TLC Network, may have seen her on shows such as Property Ladder and Hope for Your Home, but for us 90s kids, we first may have seen her, I know I sure did, on Saved by the Bell and some of our other favorite shows as well. Kirsten Kemp Becker, welcome to Down with the 90s.
Hi, pleasure to be here. I got my big shoulder pads on.
Me too. What a cool
show. Excellent. We could rub shoulders later.
Well, Kirsten, thank you so much for being a part of the show. I'm not even sure quite how well you know of how iconic you are at this point from your time on Saved by the Bell and shows like that. And I was fascinated to find out because, you know, I remember you fondly. I'm a big fan of Saved by the Bell. I had no idea that you were only on that show for a handful of times. And I think most people feel the same. You made such a mark with that.
it's those flashback moments, too. I may have only shot two or three episodes during the season, but then they always had those flashbacks or the friendship prom, and then they would revisit the Rhonda Robustelli moments. And honestly, it's hysterical to me that an actor can have some really great highlights and some really great work under their belt, and what people still stop me for is Rhonda Robustelli. It's just an absolute riot to me. But I'm in really good company. If you look at that show, there's so many great people back in the 90s who got their start on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look online, there's just so many lists of just even people like Scott Wolf who went on.
Yeah, exactly. Casey Kasem. Anyway, it's great. It's really, really fun to be a part of it.
Awesome. Well, we'll touch back on that again in just a second, but I just want to go back even further a little bit for a moment, because you've got an amazing story from childhood. You were born in London, England. I'm correct on that?
Yes, correct.
You come from a family of entertainers. And
that's correct. I had no choice in the matter. We were like the Von Trapps growing up. My father was a pianist and my mother a singer, and it was, you know, perform, sing, dance, or die. And it was a great way to grow up. It really was. It gave me some really good confidence being on stage and doing live theater and doing live touring shows with my parents. There's nothing like that background to give you a little bit of self-esteem when you're in front of cameras rolling going, am I really doing this? So it was really fun for me.
That's been a very unique way to grow up. And even more so, the fact that from a very early age, you guys moved to Mexico.
Yes, Mexico City. I know you would guess,
Wow. Just
looking at me, that I'm actually a native of a Latin American country. But such a great tool, especially given where my career has sort of taken me in the industry of real estate and construction. It's wonderful to be able to speak Spanish and be able to impart that into my kids. And it's just it's a great culture, a great language, and a wonderful country to grow up in back then.
Yeah, sure. Now, were you like working together, your family, to like in one particular act or like a show that you were putting on?
You mean, Jerry, you're not referring to El Trio Broadway, are you?
I assume I am.
we took it on the road, my friend. Yes, we were the Broadway trio. And
I'm picturing the whole Partridge Family van and everything.
We absolutely had it all. I did one show with my parents when I was four. They were performing with the New Orleans Symphony, and I sang Do Re Mi, and I got off stage, and I looked at my mommy, and I said, when do I get to change my costume? Like, I was ready to have a clothing change. I was ready to get flowers. It was definitely for me, but they said I didn't smile once, and I was very meek and very shy. And the next stop on our little tour, apparently I blossomed because they let me sing another song and another song, and the repertoire expanded. And it was a really incredible way to see the world, tour the country, and then the world. And we got sponsored by the state, and we would do concerts for charities and raise money and anything that we could possibly do just to perform. And it ended up being we had quite the following once we left Mexico in 1984. So I moved to the States, and my parents said, look, we can move to Iowa and live in a really big house, or we can move to L.A. and you can try to pursue this crazy career. And we're living in an apartment somewhere. And I was like, let's go live in an apartment in L.A. It'll be great. But somehow we ended up in the Palisades, and I got an agent and landed a McDonald's commercial the second we got there, and it was kind of, the rest is history. But Saved by the Bell was epic, mostly because I was in college at the time, Jerry. So you know what that means. It means your friends roll out of bed Saturday morning somewhat hungover and go, oh, my gosh, you turned on the TV, and there you were.
Wow. So you were going to college at the time that you were really getting into doing all these sitcoms and all that stuff?
I was. I was on a music scholarship at Occidental College. And in my, quote, spare time, I was going on auditions and booking things like Saved by the Bell and Head of the Class and Growing Pains and all those great shows from that era, and doing what I felt professionally was what they were trying to teach us to do. And I got to tell you, there must have been some professional jealousy in the theater department, because they were not so happy about my missing 4 or 5 weeks a term to go shoot these shows. But I was sure it was life experience and it was going to be very valuable. So I think we worked it out in the end. But it was a really great way to supplement my college tuition and not have to wait tables.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Now, coming from the background that you came from, how was your demeanor, how was your comfort level in walking into like a Hollywood audition? Was it just no sweat, no nervousness whatsoever?
Well, I can't say that there's no nervousness, because that certainly propels you to do your best, right? But I will tell you that I was very naive. I was an only child and had only been told that I was very good at what I did, and so that was what I believed. But honestly, until you leave a culture where the tall blonde is totally the exception and move to one where you are now completely the norm, you have to stand out somehow. And I think, honestly, my naivete of not knowing any better, that I wasn't as experienced as some of these kids who'd grown up in Hollywood, and that I felt I had this confidence that I'd gotten from growing up with parents who were my best friends, and I had spent so much time with them, I didn't know any better. And it ended up being, you know, when you play hearts for the first time, that card game, and you shoot the moon because you just don't know what you're doing, that was kind of me. It was pure luck, and my father would say, well, luck is where opportunity meets preparedness, and apparently they had prepared me pretty well. But
yeah,
I always felt very, very lucky.
That's great. It certainly worked out for you. And, of course, let's go back to it. That took you to, you know, one of your most memorable things. And is that a fact for you anyway, as far as your acting career? Is your part of Rhonda Robustelli on Saved by the Bell the biggest thing that people remember from that time period?
I think it's definitely one of the most recognizable, only because the show was had such a cult following, and to this day still does. I mean, look, I have kids who are, you know, 3, 9, 12, 17, and 20, but we'll get into that. It's a different subject. But the 9-year-old and the 12-year-old, they watch old episodes of Saved by the Bell. They still watch that show. And when we were all shooting it, we were like, this is the craziest show ever. This is never going to be a hit. How in the world could they get away with all these gags? It's so over the top. This is ridiculous. And sure enough, it just became one of those epic things. And it was a great cast. All those people that contributed to that show were just great, wonderful, fun people. And I think when you have that magic, it all comes together. You have no choice but to have a hit and a following like we did at the time. So, yes, I think in terms of my acting career, it's definitely one of the very most recognizable roles, unless you've seen me hit a high C on Head of the Class.
Now, there's another podcast that I'm a big fan of. It's called Go Bayside, and it's basically sort of a comedic dissection of Saved by the Bell episode by episode.
Yes.
And they talk about all the, like, sort of ridiculous stereotypes and political incorrectness that wouldn't necessarily fly today, but that Saved by the Bell did get away with.
Yeah.
And, April Richardson's the host, and one thing that she has spoken about on several occasions, which really struck a chord with me, and I wanted to talk to you about it, was your character was basically portrayed as, like you said, this over-the-top, like, I guess sort of this tomboyish personality that, for whatever reason, represented the most unattractive possible option, dating option for the guys at Bayside. Like, they were literally fleeing from you, including, of course, Zach Morris.
Yeah.
And she does a great job of sort of lampooning the fact that all they really do, I mean, obviously, you know, it's no secret, you are clearly a very attractive person. And all they really did was they put you in a backwards hat, and they made sure that you were taller than all the guys around you in the scenes, and for some reason, that equated to fear. In the hearts of the males of Bayside.
Well, and an intimidating size, right? I mean, I was huge compared to the rest of those actors and actresses.
Yeah, yeah. You were definitely taller than them, but, you know, other than that, I mean, they sort of went over the top with the ogre factor, if you will,
right,
that they were trying
exactly.
to give to you.
The Shrek of yesteryear, yeah. But it worked. It worked,
I
right?
Mean,
no complaints.
How did that, is that like an aspect of the character that you had to come in with as far as auditioning for the part or whatever? Was it pretty clear to you that you had to be as sort of scary?
It was clear to me that the highlight of the character description was held shot put record at school. So as soon as I read that, and my audition was approximately 5 days later, I think I had about 50 protein shakes, 5 chocolate bars, and 10 sundaes, and did everything that I could just to kind of, quote, bulk up, and who doesn't want an excuse to eat when you're in college? And I really took it to heart. And the best part about that role, probably for me looking back on it, is, like you kindly stated, it was sort of a departure from what I was being typecast for afterwards, which was more of the secretary, blonde, bimbo, Swedish masseuse, et cetera. So it was really fun to be a tomboy and to be a little bit over the top and to be intimidating and have all these guys just run the other direction. And anything I could come up with to try to make that more known was a challenge and the best part about it, of course. It was great. But, you know, I also had, I think that was my first on-screen kiss with Zach Morris.
Ah, yes. An aggressive one at that, it was.
Yes, it was. If you look very closely, I think you could see that I'm definitely cracking up.
Now, that was, I think that was early on in the series, so did you get any sense at that point in working with the main cast that they had approached the superstar level that they were going to get to, or was that too early in the game?
It was a little bit early in the game, but I knew Tiffany through another mutual friend of ours at the time, and it was clear that she was going to have a huge career. It was clear that everybody wasn't just cast because of looking the part. There was some real talent on that show, and for how old we all were at the time and seemingly green, it was incredible to me how everybody stepped it up and tried to be creative and was very professional and very on time. And it was before, like you said, any of that really huge recognition. So the work ethic was there. And I think that if you lose sight of that, then you really have bigger problems to deal with other than just the creative art. And it was really fun to be able to just focus on the work. We all knew we had a good gig. We all knew it was loads of fun. It was always great to come back to that set and feel like I was part of a family. And that just doesn't always happen.
An interesting thing about that show, when you compare it to another other shows of that era, even this era that deal with high school, and Head of Class might fall on that list, is that it seemed like most of the Saved by the Bell cast, without the research right in front of me, they were close to the age they were supposed to be. You were in college, you had said, so maybe you were a couple of years older, but for the most part, you guys were sort of in your teen era.
Yeah.
How did that compare, and like when you guest starred on Head of Class, for instance? My impression there was that most of those cast members were actually a bit older, And although you weren't a part of it, same thing with some of the other shows of that era, like a 90210, where it seemed like all the teens that were cast were actually already almost in the
older,
30s.
A decade older. Yeah, I think it was definitely part of what contributed to the lightness and the fun of it. And if you recall, so much of what propelled that show was these visual gags. And if your actors actually find all of that humorous as well, then it's so easy to sell. And because we were of that era and young and portraying ourselves maybe just a year or two younger so that we could all be 18 so that there weren't so many legal things to deal with, it really took off. And I think it had this life of its own because we all found the fun in it. And I think a lot of that is what gets lost when you're playing a character that's certainly not your age, but also just as life gets a little bit more serious and you have more responsibilities, it's harder to find that youth and that innocence. And we definitely had that feeling on that set. It was just loads of fun.
That's really great. I guess I should probably ask this to anybody I ever speak to who lives out on the West Coast. Have you run into Mr. Belding in any local bars? Because it seems like he is everywhere.
Mr. who?
Mr. Belding.
Oh, Mr. Belding. Yes, he is sort of everywhere, isn't he? I have not had the pleasure of running into him in person.
That's a shame.
But I continuously look. I'm sure I'll be surprised any day now. I do run into Tiffany regularly because I'm based out of Santa Barbara, and she was up here quite a bit, and we used to see each other quite often, which was great. Certainly Elizabeth and Mario. And, you know, Mark Paul's just had a great career. Lydia Rimini and I did a lot of shows together other than just Saved by the Bell, which was great to work with these people over and over again. And it's been a really fun thing to have had the privilege of being a part of.
That's really great. And of course, your career was not at all limited to Saved by the Bell. You were working all the time steadily through the 90s. You popped up anywhere and everywhere. This variety of shows on this list I have in front of me is pretty everything from The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. to Married with Children.
Yep.
all the way to Sister Sister, even to JAG. You were on JAG.
JAG was one of those, it was a departure for me, Jerry, if you will, because I had to be dramatic, but I couldn't have asked for a better career at the time, and amazing how it steered me towards what I get to do today. And I feel really, really lucky that I get to bring a little bit of this acting background to a reality show and really kind of help people and guide people and mentor people. It's been a really, really good ride.
Yeah, I mean, so let's talk about that for a minute. So you were acting. Was this basically your full focus throughout? Say, throughout the 90s, it seems like you were, you know, here and there getting steady acting gigs throughout the decade. Was that your focus, or were you already planning to move into sort of a different realm of
I was already into real estate in my real life from the moment, I mean, for even when I was doing Saved by the Bell, I got an apartment as soon as I could get off campus, and I was the one covering my TV with wallpaper to match the walls and putting doilies on my coffee tables and having other students ask me how they could make their dorm room just a little bit better with some high-impact, low-cost improvements. So it was always in my blood, and I was pursuing acting honestly, as sort of I want to say it was a hobby because I certainly enjoyed it and I was focused on it and I worked hard at my craft, but I never made it my sole source of income. I never made it anything that I had to do. I really did it because I enjoyed it, and I'm sure there were some competitors that envied that. And at the same time, I feel like it gave me the freedom not to be so driven. I think you get so caught up in that business that you have to get a job and you have to work and you'll do anything for it, and that desperation often doesn't lead to success. So I always felt lucky that I had this other thing, which was my father was willing to invest in me at a very young age, and I bought a condominium and he said, fix it up and sell it. And I said, okay. And so that was sort of what started my interest in real estate. And when I had the opportunity to bring my acting background onto television with my real passion of real estate, it was the perfect recipe for a perfect job for me. And it's turned into a really great recognizable role as a working mother, which I take very, very seriously and take with tons of pride. And being on a show like Saved by the Bell always reminds me what the importance is of being a mother and what it is to bring this happiness to my children and their friends and the people around me. And it's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is who are you surrounding yourself with and are you having fun doing it and are you contributing to those around you? And that's what makes it all work.
That's amazing. You've had a really great, a long run on TLC, continue to be a very popular personality in that real estate television host realm. How did that actually come about as far as you doing real estate to marrying it?
I had just had my second baby and was going to, quote, take a break. So I moved to Santa Barbara. I was doing houses in Santa Barbara, and I kept my agent, and I was working enough to maintain my SAG insurance, and that was great. But I really wanted to take a break and focus on this second baby because I felt like I hadn't really done that so much with my firstborn. And I got a call from my agent who said, the producers of American Idol are looking for a host that has a background in acting and camera experience, but really good, solid credentials as a real estate expert and flipper. Meanwhile, I flipped like 19 houses in 5 years or something. I mean, I had a huge resume of houses and design work, and I looked at my husband. I said, I cannot do this. This is made for me. I have to do this. So with my two-month-old in tow, off I went, and the next thing I knew, we were shooting this crazy show all around the nation, and it was a hit. It's great. So that was how it all came together. Yeah. One of those meant to be's.
It's just like you can start the kids young. Get them on the labor force early.
Exactly. So true. Making it on the road, kids. Just some parents did to me, right? All these things you say you're not going to do as a parent that your parents did to you. Here we go.
And hopefully those things turn out to actually be good things in the end. That's my experience.
I hope so.
That's awesome. And, of course, you're an author, too. Of course, your book, Flipping Confidential, came out in 2007. Was that a good experience for you?
That was a great experience. It was definitely cathartic and therapeutic to write it all down. And I often refer to it and see if it's as timeless as I'd hoped it would be at the time. And it seems to still hold. And it was a great opportunity to tour the country and meet folks and get letters from readers and viewers that say it's been helpful. So that was the goal, and I think it was accomplished. I really had a great time. I just wanted it to be a good read, and if people learned something from it as well, then great. But it really was meant to be as entertaining as it was educational.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I know you've got your own – you've got lots of ways to follow you online, your own website. What would you like the listeners to – where would you like them to find you? How should they follow you? Where are you out there in the world?
Well, I am at BeckerStudiosInc.com and our boutique construction design firm here in Santa Barbara. We do a lot of consulting with people who are trying to figure out their lives and how their lives fit with their homes. And oftentimes we need to remodel people on the inside before we can remodel their houses. And we do a lot of consulting with that kind of end goal in mind, and it's been very successful for us. So people can find me there. I'm always interested in questions and insights and any kind of comments that can be addressed through that website, BeckerStudiosInc.com.
Great. And is there any social media, any Twitter or Facebook that they can follow you on? Or?
You know, I've resisted only because I'm trying to set a better example for my children. That said, I have a feeling we're going to have to cave here pretty soon. So as soon as that happens, I'll let you know.
Okay, watch the website, people, for
exactly.
for an impending announcement on
exactly,
Twitter and Facebook.
Exactly.
Well, Kirsten, it's been awesome to have you. It's been great to talk to you, and it's really cool that you embraced the things that you did back then because they all led you to where you are now, doing bigger, better things that people can certainly really enjoy and take advantage of and appreciate you for, even more so now than back then, but really cool for you to talk about your past, present, and future with us here today.
Well, I'm going to sound like my mother, but it does seem like it was yesterday, and I think it's great that you're keeping it alive, and there is something really nostalgic about that era for a lot of people. So thank you for your good work. I really appreciate being included.
Thanks for being here. Till next week, This is Down with the 90s. I'm Jerry Strauss. This is Kirsten Kemp-Becker. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.